morning. Today is Tuesday, August the 15th. Joining us this morning, Mr. Hull, sir.
Morning, Brian.
How are you?
Things are great.
Why?
Because it's summertime.
Oh, it is summer, isn't
it? Summer in Eureka, and living is easy, you know?
Okay, sure, you betcha. Let's see if we find a water quote, just out of sheer spite.
You could also find a wastewater quote.
I don't think I could.
You don't think so? No, that's in the green section. Yeah.
All right. Wash day. No, that's not close.
That's close. Yeah.
Waste.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Followed by water. I can't.
I'm amazed that book has that.
Yeah.
But you can't read it on the air, right?
Right. Okay. Our quote this morning. Oh, that's a cool one. From Napoleon I. The greatest need and necessity of a soldier is water.
Good for him.
We could say the same thing about lots of stuff.
We could say that for just about everybody.
Yeah.
Not just a soldier.
Air.
Yeah. Air is important.
I put air up there, too. Yeah.
Air is very important.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. So how is the water season going? I heard, where did I hear it this morning? It was things to do. Oh, it was in the Ag Report yesterday. Talking about water and drought and some of the challenges in other areas throughout the country.
Right.
The Midwest and, you know, doing the stuff we've talked about over the years. Is there a recognition of drought? Or are droughts cyclical and so are people's sensitivities to them?
I think they are cyclical, and I think people have short memories. So that's probably cyclical also, but the drought we have had is over. Let's see, what are we doing reservoir-wise? Trinity's about 80% of capacity,
I understand that they're missing something up there.
They are. At the north end.
You're a little involved with there, huh?
At the north end, right. So it's about 80% full, which is 104% of normal, so it's still more than the average of its whole time.
Okay, whoa. It's 80% full.
Right.
But that's more than normal.
That's more than normal.
So
for this time of year.
The capacity is normal, is not there, or that's winter time?
No, that's for this date, for this week, it should be less full than it is, I guess is a good way to put it.
Historical standard,
right. Okay. And Shasta is actually, it's about 84% full also, but that's like 125% of its normal capacity for this time of year. So we're doing good water balance wise. Ruth, of course, is charging along just like where it should be.
Yeah, they got fire though, so that's a different challenge.
Yeah, yeah, a little smoky, but not bad. But water wise, it's good. In fact, looking at the El Nino, La Nina, you know, water temperatures off the equator sort of things, that's about it's about normal. So we may be coming up on more of a normal, quote, normal winter. If you will.
You mean not super wet?
Like not super wet, not
saying?
Super cold, not super anything. Just the way it usually is.
Just super duper?
Super duper. Exactly. See? You're getting into summer mode.
Yeah. We got a couple minutes before the break. Had the story last week that you and some folks were getting involved in trying to bring back some of the infrastructure around Trinity Lake. What's his backstory there?
Yeah, well, quick backstory. I encourage all my employees to be involved in community service and do things outside the job. So this is one of my things is to help out over in Trinity County. North end of the lake, there has been a marina there for a long time. There's one down, or a couple of them down on the southern end of the lake. North end of the lake had one. The drought came, 3 years. Didn't make much sense to have the marina up there because there wasn't a lot of water.
See the water,
Kind of put it in the stream channel, right, or send it pretty far south. So this year, water comes back, and marina doesn't come back. And so there's a bunch of folks that are working with the owners of Cedar Stock, which is the southern one. They're actually a company that's owned out of Arizona that owns them. They actually have the permit to do the one in the north, too, so we've been working with them. They haven't been able to get it together this year, but they're actually selling the whole business, which includes the permit for the north end, also to a company that's out of Texas. So We've got 400 and some people on a petition to get the marina back. We've offered help. We've been working with the Forest Service to kind of grease the skids, get the thing ready to go so that we'll have a marina back by Memorial Day next year.
Cool. It can happen that fast?
Well, we'll see. It should because
one saw the twinkle in his eyes when I said that one.
The Forest Service has already completed the environmental documents for it. The marina that had been up there was new in maybe 2010 or 11 or something, so it was relatively new when they moved it down south. So the plans are the same, the parts are the same, everything's should be pretty easy. The Forest Service again has committed to working with the new owners to get the thing up and running.
So the marina itself is still around. It just was relocated elsewhere on the lake, or they went to another lake.
It's sort of a what do they call that? It's a matter of opinion about the facts. It's whose facts you use. There are pieces of it still at Cedar Stock, but there's a legend that actually the pieces have been taken out and destroyed and aren't there, even though you can take a picture of them being there, but they're not usable. So anyway, it's a long story. I think they're in retirement. Well, what they did is I think they took some of the old stuff they had at Cedar Stock out, and they replaced it with the newer stuff that came from the north end. So, so the new owner's coming in, but again, the Forest Service has been great about greasing the skids, getting the permits ready to go, and the environmental clearances and stuff. So I think the new owners will be able to just pop right in.
And you got enough on the petition; you don't need any assistance.
Not yet. No, not yet. As soon as we get some contacts with the new owners, as soon as the deal's done, it's not quite done yet. As soon as it's done and we get some new contacts, then I think we'll be able to start actually talking with them and introducing them to the neighborhood.
So do you need foundational anchors and things like that, and then a floating dock? Or
yeah, it's a floating dock. There's a floating dock, a store, and a gas dock. Originally, when the lake was built, there was a commitment to have a marina and gas at one end of the lake and at the other end of the lake because, you know, it's like 25 miles long. So if you have a houseboat and you've made it up to the other end and you're out of gas, that's a problem. So.
Yeah, a 50-mile round trip, you don't want to get halfway home and run out.
Yeah, exactly.
The current isn't going to take you home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're excited to start working with the new owners.
Cool. And when you said Memorial Day, but you should get notice by October?
We're hoping. Apparently, the deal, the business deal of selling the business, is within days of closing. So hopefully, within a month, we'll actually have some contacts with the new owners, and we'll be able to move it along.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika, Thunder Country, 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on Kins, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Now he's back as being the general manager of the services district. Dave, there's a meeting tonight in Crescent City. There was a meeting last night in Eureka about the congressman's new attempted new designation with wildlands, with wild and scenic rivers, with a lot of that kind of stuff, access into the mountains and the trees. Has the services district take a position on this? Do you see anything, because it's in the headwaters area of the MAD, certainly impacting Ruth, that there could be some complications with this?
Kind of a couple answers. The Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District, of course, runs the water up at Ruth Reservoir. They They have a kind of a political arm in Sacramento that keeps track of these kind of things. From that, we take our cues a lot from that. You know, in a bigger umbrella, we're part of the Association of California Water Agencies, which is made up of hundreds of water agencies throughout the whole state of California, and they monitor these things pretty closely too. We are naturally anything that happens in the watersheds, in a larger watershed area, we are concerned with. Nothing yet in these proposals has risen to the level of concern to any of those groups yet.
I would imagine you're monitoring it.
Well, absolutely,
closely,
they're monitoring.
Though.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I found out it only takes one paragraph
mm-hmm.
to really
it
change
only takes
the
a
entire
sentence.
Yeah, or a word
or a word.
Well, and I believe Weaverville is tomorrow night, and Ukiah is on Thursday night.
They're making the rounds. Yep.
Yeah. You're just kind of right now a bystander?
Yes. Yep.
Interested bystander.
Well, because our principal duties, of course, is to provide, you know, safe water and the sewer service to our customers. And so we rely on these associations that we belong to that their purpose is to monitor that stuff. They're in Sacramento. They're right there working with congressmen, working with the state.
So they monitor federal action.
Yeah, they monitor both state and federal action. Right. So we take a lot of the cues from them. A lot of times, though, we'll see something in the paper like this. We'll write them, you know, say, what are you guys doing on this? Because we haven't heard. And they're always quick to respond that they've got this and that, and they're on this committee, they're monitoring this, they've been to these workshops. They're very, very active. Aqua's a good group.
The communication is a little soft, though, huh?
Yeah. Well, maybe from our side to them.
Yeah,
either
direction. I mean, and I think that's probably one of the biggest concerns that anybody has got. It's not that your industry folks, lobbying groups, I mean, depending on your perspective, aren't there. It's just that, are they sharing what is going on and letting you know with ample time to be able to either craft a response or some kind of a message or attend a meeting or have some input before the goose is cooked?
Right. No, and when it's the communication is particularly important when it is one of these monitoring things where maybe nothing's going on, maybe something's going on, but you don't know. But because they're monitoring it, it's not like we're actively supporting it or actively opposing it, which we get a lot of emails and a lot of action on those. The monitor ones, you know, it's you almost have to ask because they just sort of sit there until something comes up. We have, though, using the Association of California Water Agencies, we have just signed on with several of the agencies around here and 70 of our other water agencies throughout the state of California to take an opposed position to a thing called SB 623. This is a thing called the Funding for Safe Drinking Water. You know, they always make titles that sound great. I mean, how could you be against that, right? And honestly, its goal is to establish a fund to assist those that don't have access to clean drinking water. So again, who would be against that? Well, nobody would be. Everybody should have access to clean drinking water. That goes without saying.
Flint, Michigan.
I think it's probably it rolls out of that exactly. What this bill does, though, is it purports not only to say, okay, we're going to create a fund. It doesn't say where the money is going to come from, and that's always problematic. In fact, there's been a sort of a rumor that. This is where you've probably seen it. I think there was an article in the paper a week or so ago about a water tax, and that this would be that they would tax us local water agencies, which means it taxes all of our customers to go into some fund that the state administers then to help these communities get access to clean water. Now, that's a pretty small group of folks, really, in the state of California. This state's done really well at providing the rules and regulations and the funding actually to get most of the communities up and running so that they have safe drinking water. But there are still a few left, and there are other options for this also. The state has a state revolving fund that's a loan program, but there are grants for disadvantaged communities to get their systems up. There's agriculture programs. There's at least, I think there's two bond issues right now that have the signatures, bond initiatives. One for $400 million, one for $500 million. That'll be on a ballot sometime. There's actually an assembly person, I think, that's introduced a bill that's creating another bond fund for $175 million, all aimed at providing safe water access. So we're not really sure what this bill really does or where it goes, but because it's nonspecific, we oppose it unless you amend it to make it something that we know what it is.
Who was the author?
A guy named Monning. He's a senator that's basically from, along the coast, from basically Morgan Hill to north of Santa Barbara.
So not an so area.
Santa Maria.
He's not writing it for himself.
No, well, but you think about that area. That's a water poor kind of area. That's an area that doesn't have a, that is typically
poor
a
is not a word that I would use in association with that part of California.
No, that's true too.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull, the General Manager of the Humboldt Community Services District. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Dave, some of the different projects that you've alluded to throughout the year, this is kind of when it happens. The construction stuff, you talked a little bit about some of the wells in the past and trying to replace some of the pumps or get them offline or online or stand behind the line or something to do with a line. maybe being fed a line. I don't know.
Could have been.
What other things are out there working now that keeps you guys busy during the time of the year when we don't anticipate having an awful lot of work?
Well, one of the things that that we're working on that's absolutely is weather dependent for the dry season is we're just getting ready to kick off a district-wide leak detection survey. This is something I'd mentioned before, but it's actually going to start next week. We've got a company called Water Systems Optimization, and or WSO, and they are going to check out every valve, every hydrant, every metered connection we have throughout our district, which is 87 miles of main line that we have.
Every single connection?
Every single one. And they're going to try to pinpoint leaks for us so that we can have a map to do that. Now, again, this is the perfect time of year to do it because groundwater's dropped down. There isn't a lot of surface water influence at all, and so it's a great time for them to look for leaks.
So is it like radar or sonar, and they just kind of walk over and see if there's
it's more of an acoustic listening thing, actually. They have
sound waves.
They have two ways to do it. The person will actually go from, like I said, from meter to meter, from valve to valve, and actually have a little gizmo they call an L mic that they'll actually have headphones on, and they'll be wandering around listening for these sort of things. If it's a kind of pipe like that's non-metallic or non-plastic pipe that we have in the ground, which we have some of those, then they're actually going to use something they call a leak correlator, which rather than a human listening to it, it's actually the easiest way to say it is it's actually a computer that listens.
Like a digital display.
Yeah, exactly. And so, again, they're going to do the whole 87 miles. You're going to see these people walking or wandering around the neighborhoods, opening valve boxes and things. So I just want to give everybody a heads up that
that's
going to go.
Each of the meter boxes they go to?
Yep. Yeah. In fact, they think, well, from their experience, they think about 90% of the leaks that they detect are at the service connection. They're not out in the street or at a fire hydrant or something
Wouldn't
like that.
Wouldn't you know?
Not necessarily.
Now, you'd still have to open it up and look inside.
Yeah, exactly. But. Yeah. And if it's not a big leak, you know, it's it would range. So, you know, we have.
Are you concerned about drip?
Well,
or
at this point,
geysers.
Well, the geysers for sure. But usually, you see the geysers, right? Unless they're off, and we have some areas that are
down.
We have some areas that go off. You know, kind of pioneering through a you know, down a hill and through berries and whatever that maybe you don't wouldn't maybe notice right away if there was a geyser, but we're kind of excited because this is a way to do the entire district at once. We do pretty good about doing neighborhoods. If somebody's got an issue, we'll go in and we'll pull all the meters out and we'll plug it all up and we'll do a pressure test and we'll do all this kind of stuff. But you can't really do that over the entire district. That'd take forever. I don't have the resources to do that. So this is kind of an old school way of doing it. But in fact, this group has actually kind of written the book on this, how to do this. So we're fortunate to have them. I think they're going to do great. And it will be everything from drips to something more major. And then once we get their whole list, then we'll prioritize the repairs to be made.
Do you have related? It's not off the rails as much as you might think.
Although it might sound like it.
Yeah. Do you have a map of where the springs are in the areas?
No.
So there may be moisture, water, that manifests itself the same way as a leak, but it's not a leak. It's just a spring that's now flowing. It's coming downhill, and it pops up, and there it is. And you have to deal with it or not deal with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one that we've talked about in the past is actually a city one, but out there on I Street where there's springs that run along kind of perpendicular to the street.
North of Grant.
Yes. That's the kind of stuff you get. Now, these guys are experienced enough to be able to, they'll go through, they may hear something like that. But then they'll come back and they'll do a little more in-depth if they have some questions about it being a spring or something. Usually if it's a spring, there's going to be some seep somewhere, particularly this time of year, that's going to be obvious. So it's either a leak or it's a spring, and they're going to be able to hone in right on that.
So these guys do a pretty extensive job. Is it a 1 week, 2 week, 3 week?
It's going to be about a month to do all 87 miles. They can do 3 or 4 miles a day. So they're going to be here for about a month. So again, if you see a truck with a WSO, we're probably going to have one of our guys out with them most of the time, just in case they have to run out in the street to listen to a valve. We don't want them out there in the street listening while the traffic's going by, right? So
I keep hearing Jake brakes. Yeah. I just don't get it.
What an odd sound.
Yeah. Well, you know, an odd is something that we are very familiar with, isn't it? KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Dave Hall.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Dave Hull. Dave, some of the detection programs I would think are pretty obvious, as we alluded to.
Right.
Some are not so obvious. Is this something that you are wanting to put in like every 5 years, every 10 years, every 3 years? How often do they come through to catch the obvious ones, but also to pick up on some of those that aren't quite so?
Well, I think for this is the first time the district's done a district-wide survey. So I think this is part of a learning curve for us. It's like it may be, and it would probably be a great idea to have it be a recurring thing, but I'm not exactly sure until we see the data how often that interval ought to be. Maybe every 5 years, every 10 years,
something
like
that. What do other districts?
Oh, it's all over the map. Okay. Most of them don't do it at all. Most of them do it like we did it, which is, if you have an unresolved issue in a neighborhood, you just keep making ever bigger circles out till you figure out what the problem is.
So this is more of a proactive?
Very much so.
Is this part and parcel to what the state is requiring as far as leakage and water and
stuff? It's both. It's both. I think probably the state now requires us to do a water audit every year. And so we, through that process, one of the things that they encourage is to do some leak detection work. And so it's a great preventative tool. And honestly, for a district-wide survey, it's relatively inexpensive.
Is this a program that can also detect weak joints
if they're leaking? Because they're listening for the sound of the water squeezing out some little hole or like you're saying, at a connection.
So how much registers for them? If they're going past, let's say, one of the new pipes that you put in on Myrtle, here in the Eureka area, how will they go, it's holding, or it's a little bit, or it's a lot? I mean, you're talking fairly deep. You're talking about large volumes. Are they going to care about the small little part?
Yes, they are. They're going to map everything for us. We will then take that list, and the much more major ones we'll work on first, and then we'll get back to the other ones, right?
Exactly. So you start at the top.
You start at the start from the worst ones. Yeah. It just makes sense somehow.
So. What do you anticipate? Do you think it's going to be wildly stunning how many leaks there are? Right now, your gut as a benchmark to determine, so you can use that in the future too.
Right. Yes. That's exactly right. And that's why we're doing the district-wide one rather than just, you know, hiring them to do a specific piece of the district. I want a whole data set for the entire district to be just what you said, to be a baseline so that we can compare in the future to that. I suspect some of the older neighborhoods are going to have some issues. Rosewood area, freshwater-wise, it's probably not so much because it's relatively new to the district. I'm around Cutting, you know, it's kind of a mixture. There's some older neighborhoods and there's some newer neighborhoods, so it'll probably fit that pattern. But real honestly, I'm going into it pretty objectively. We'll just see what we see.
What do you perceive to be a healthy number? I mean, if 5%, 2%, 1% of the junctions or the connectors being leaks, I guess, would that... What level are you comfortable with?
Yeah, well, and I think you make a good point. It's never going to be completely tight, right? You're always going to have some leak somewhere. So I think what you said is right. 5, 10% is probably typical. 5, 10% at a gallon a minute or so is acceptable, I guess.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. What is acceptable rather than what is.
Because there's a point where, you know, again, it's diminishing return stuff. I could spend all kinds of time chasing down.
You're chasing the burnt Frito chip in 10 bags.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And so we're looking for the bigger leaks through this whole system. But it's also going to give us a clue. If we have a neighborhood that has a whole bunch of little leaks, then that's going to be something to focus on also.
Whose responsibility are the leaks?
If they're between the meter and the main line, it's ours.
At the meter?
At the meter, yeah. If the meter has a problem, it's ours. And from the meter to the street is ours.
So it's going outside the cement box towards the structure.
Well, actually inside the cement box, too, because the meter's ours also. So if it's between the meter and your house, it's your problem.
And that's acceptable if we're willing to pay for it?
No. Well, no, it's not, actually.
Oh, you bring that up at the end of the show.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Brian.
You betcha. Thanks, Dave. See everybody tomorrow.